5 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Good morning, Northern Colorado. Welcome into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios today. We're going to get rocking and rolling on a Thursday night. The very first Thursday night special of the season. Susan and Cheryl love that. We're going to be picking between the Bills and the Rams. And I don't just pick a winner or loser. I do pick with the spread. So we'll see what happens in the 1 o'clock hour today. I'm very pumped for this. This is gonna be a great game. Dude, the NFL's just king. They know exactly what they're doing. Let's take last year's Super Bowl champ and put him up against the odds favorite Super Bowl champ this year. I mean, people are really thinking it's gonna be the Bills. That's the majority of people you ask and talk to. I think it's going to be the Bills. So, boy, this is perfect. Perfect matchup tonight. We're going to have that game for you tonight on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA as we rock and roll. Perfect way to set up the big weekend. I got Rams Weekly coming up at 5 o'clock with not those Rams, the other Rams, with Kevin Lytle and Chris Abshire. And we'll talk about everything that went down last week between CSU and Michigan and how the Rams can recover against Middle Tennessee, so we'll get into that as well. But I tell you what, Angel, let's jump over and get our good, the bad, and the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. The Rocks get another win. They just keep winning. Kyle Freeland was really good yesterday. I shouldn't say last night. Kyle Freeland, these are the games where you just go, oh, this guy's dialed in. Six innings. 8 strikeouts, solid outing for him, and the Rockies win the series against Milwaukee and are now 59-79, perhaps. Yeah, it's amazing. They won a series. They perhaps could get to that 72. Very much. Every day, if they win, I keep my eyes on that 72 that I predicted because I think it's still possible. The bad is, and I don't know if it's like bad, but you know, if you're a Rams fan and you rooted for Matt Stafford to kind of rejuvenate his career with the Rams, which he certainly did, he had an off-season procedure on his right elbow. This just came out earlier today. His right elbow to deal with pain that he experienced last season to help prepare for the season. Well, we know that Sean McVay a month ago said he was a little concerned about it. He said he was a little, you know, it's cause for some concern, not much. However, now McVay said over the weekend, the team's plan to manage Stafford's pain elbow pain, is no different than what it did for the quarterback last season. Said he would have no issue with Stafford throwing 50-plus passes during the game tonight. Now, is he really going to throw? Is really going to throw 50-plus passes tonight? Probably not. Maybe, though. Tanner thinks it's going to be just this crazy scoring affair. He's still got two pretty good defenses, too. So I could see this. I don't know. I could see this being a defensive game. A few early scores. We'll see. The ugly. We've interviewed this gentleman before. I thought he was pretty good at what he does. I mean, he's a shock jock kind of guy. Radio host Doug Gottlieb admits that he made false claim on Freddie Freeman contract talks with the Atlanta Braves. That was a pretty big story over the summer. He admitted that he falsely claimed agent Casey Close, who is Freddie Freeman's agent, never talked to him. Gottlieb tweeted on June 29th that Casey Close never told Freddie Freeman about the Braves' final offer, which, again, Freddie didn't end up with the Braves. We all kind of were sad. He was sad, it seemed like. The rumor was started by Doug Gottlieb that the agent didn't even inform Freddie Freeman of the contract, of the offer. That was back in June 29th. Well, he said did he get a text? Did he get an email? How did he know this? Where did he get it? He tweeted out yesterday, upon further vetting of my sources, a review of the lawsuit filed against me in this matter and a direct conversation with Casey himself, I have learned that the conduct I alleged did not occur and that there is no credible basis for stating that it did. My ultimate investigation into this matter confirms that Casey Close did, in fact, communicate all offers to Freddie Freeman, and the sources I relied on were incorrect in no uncertain terms. This is the problem with where we are in the media world today. We are so caught up in trying to get the scoop, get the breaking news, be the first to report it. You heard it here first. I always love stations and newspapers and TV stations that do this. You heard it here first. You need to, we pride ourselves on, I don't break a lot of news here, but you put together an entertaining product that's compelling and fun no matter what kind of scoop that you're getting. I would much rather entertain, not burn bridges, have fun with the stories that we get, than get a scoop. And so this guy thinks he has it, clearly doesn't. And, I mean, I don't even know. Is he still doing a show? He was great when we had him on. He's a nice guy, at least on the show. And he's controversial. He gets after it. He played college basketball. Good at what he does. And this is terrible. I mean, I've had stuff, Angel, I've had people text me things that may or may not be going on. Heck, back with the Ed McCaffrey stuff, I had people texting me a lot more than I used on, talked about on the air. Because it was opinionated stuff from people. It was people that had opinions of how things went down. That's not news. And even when I did get breaking news, you'd go, all right, is it worth burning some bridges? Is it going to make or break the shows? And again, Gottlieb got a lot of play out of this, a lot of run from this story. And now he turns out that he was wrong. And where did he get this story? Like, who told him that? And you just come out and say, sources told you this. It's crazy, man.
I think it is interesting. And when you look at guys in the sports media world, like an Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport and Adrian Wojnarowski, you look to those guys typically as the guys that are breaking news. Like, if a player gets traded or somebody gets injured, it's usually you'll hear from one or two sources primarily, if not the team itself. So it warps our mindset of reporting in that, oh, the story I tell you doesn't matter if I'm not the first one to tell you about
right.
it.
And that's,
when as soon as Schefter tweets something, 15 other guys just tweeted
it. Everybody has
it.
Yeah, everybody gets it, and it's like, do you care where you got the story from, where the breaking story comes from?
You're going to read the same story five different times.
Right, and you're exactly right on Schefter. We all kind of follow him to get those updates and everything. And you know how he's built that? He's built that those relationships, for the most part, by getting close to the teams and the organizations and releasing what he's able to release. He's not going for a scoop to try to end something. He's going for the scoop, and I guarantee you when he gets it, he's talking to the team saying, hey, here's what I got. We're going to run with it in 24 hours. So what can you give me as far as covering it up, or not covering it up, but being able to get out in front of it and all that stuff. And I think that they respect him for that, which is why he gets more stories. People want to get out in front of stories, so they go to him. It's hard to do that, though. It's hard to build those relationships. And when you want to break a story like this, I mean, it's a huge story. If this was true, it was. I mean, over the summer, this was a big deal. The agent didn't even bring him the offer, and that's where Freddie Freeman wanted to play. That was a huge deal. But now, of course, Gottlieb's coming out saying, no, I did not have it right. Vetting my sources, a review of the lawsuit filed against me in this matter, and a direct conversation with Casey himself, I have learned that the conduct I allege did not occur. My ultimate investigation into this matter confirms that Casey Close did, in fact, communicate all offers to Freddie Freeman, and the sources I relied on were incorrect in no uncertain terms. He says, I appreciate the damage that misinformation like this can cause and have been in touch with Casey Close to apologize directly. I have also deleted my original tweet. Whew. That's just absolutely nuts, man. Gottlieb also tweeted on June 29th that Freeman had fired Close. However, Excel is the company that Close works for, or is the, a big wig at, remains Freeman's listed agency, according to the Players Association. Close said this, from the onset, we were clear that Mr. Gottlieb's tweet was wholly inaccurate and that we would seek legal remedies to set the record straight. He has retracted his statement in its entirety and acknowledged that he got the story wrong. We consider this matter closed. And that's good. You consider it closed. It's done. He admitted it's wrong. Let's move on from it. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. We've got our Method Flow Products poll question up today. And it's not a, you know what, this isn't a deep thinker, Angel. It's just pretty simple, pretty straightforward. Will the Bills cover -2.5? Not will they win or lose, will they cover? And obviously, Angel, if you do the math at home, if you think the Rams are going to win, then no. The answer would be no. That's how it works. So what do you guys think? Go vote at theholeshow.com. Again, that's our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Will the Bills cover -2.5? The potential Super Bowl champs versus the Super Bowl champs coming up tonight on Thursday Night Football. What better way to start this thing off than put those two teams up against each other where potentially we maybe could see those teams play in the Super Bowl?
Really is just a great matchup to start. We've been waiting. This has been probably the craziest offseason in NFL history that I can remember. Quarterbacks getting, you know, new teams, receivers going to new teams, new coaches, young quarterbacks starting to get their, you know, legs under them. And we get to kick it off tonight with these two primetime teams. Like, this is exciting.
Oh, my goodness. Josh Allen, Matt Stafford. Now, the Bills, you know, they're without one of their studs tonight in Tre'Davious White at corner. They have a lot of rookie corners. They have a lot of young corners. So is that a concern? Is that a big concern? Obviously, it's a concern going up against the Rams and that crazy offense led by, you know, Cooper Kupp, who's just, I don't see that dude slowing down anytime soon.
No, and they got Allen Robinson over there.
Allen Robinson,
well.
Yes. Yep.
Good running game. Matthew Stafford coming off his best year probably. So, and that defense is hungry.
Yeah. Will Von Miller make a big difference for the Bills? Now, he did make a difference. Now, all of you naysayers that say Von was on his way out in the playoffs, in the Super Bowl, he made it. Like, he was like one of the, if you said there was five guys that could be considered for the Super Bowl MVP that year, last year, Von was in the top five. He had some game-changing plays. So how big of an impact will he be with Buffalo now? It's hard to believe that Von's already on, is now on his third team, when I thought maybe he'd retire at Denver Bronco.
Yeah, his kind of his pedigree, his veteran leadership, it'll be interesting to see how it transitions with the Rams. It was, you know, a couple months. With the Bills, he's had the entire offseason to get ingrained in that system, pass down his knowledge and all that to the other defensive guys. So I think it's going to be a huge, he might have a big impact on their defense.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm ready for it. 18 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. We have some fun interviews today. J.J. Raderink, he is the quarterback's coach for the UNC Bears, but he played for Wyoming. He played damn good for Wyoming, had a good career in the AFL as well. He broke a couple of Kurt Warner's records. So this guy, he's just a great guy. The more I learn about him, he's something, man. He played for Wyoming from 2000 to 2004. He helped the Cowboys beat UCLA in the Las Vegas Bowl. How about that? Had a long career in the NFL, and he was played for the Iowa Barnstormers. He started coaching with Ed at Valor Christian for 2 years before coming to UNC. So we're excited to talk to him. We will ask the big question, who will be the starting quarterback this weekend against Wyoming? Will we get the answer? I don't know. 19 minutes after 11 o'clock, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKX.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after 11 o'clock, welcome into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Thursday Night Football returns, Rams hosting the Bills. Are you shocked that the Bills are 2.5-point favorites in this game, even though it's on the road, it's in LA against the defending Super Bowl champs? I mean, Brian and Tanner asked me this morning if the Bills have a chip on their shoulder. Why? You're the favorite. Everybody and their mother is picking the Bills not only to win tonight, but if you were pressed and you had to make a decision of who you think is going to win the Super Bowl, most people are looking at the Buffalo Bills. So, I mean, I look at it and go, if I'm the Rams, I have a chip on my shoulder. I'm the Super Bowl champs. We won it all last year. And you're telling me I'm a dog in my own house when they're raising the banner? Who's got the bigger chip on their shoulder? I think it's the Los Angeles Rams, bro.
I agree with you there. I would probably say Buffalo would have the chip if everyone wasn't picking them. If they had, you know, they lost the Kansas City game, coin flip, whatever, and if they weren't picked to be the favorites, then it'd be, yeah, okay, I can understand that they have a chip. The Rams getting disrespected in their own house?
The night they raised the banner to kick off the NFL season?
Mm-mm.
Oh, it just goes to show. I also think, like, they were asking me who has the bigger chip on their shoulder this year. I think the Rams probably first and foremost because they're the Super Bowl champs not favored to win in their own house. I think the Cincinnati Bengals have to have a chip on their shoulder. Do you believe in the Bengals? Who? Nobody's picking the Bengals to do anything. They were in the Super Bowl.
I think they'll be good. I don't think they'll be as good as they were last year where they just went on that run and just, you know, every year you see NFL teams, they figure each other out. You have to make, you have to adapt and change up your play style and all that. And I think people can adjust to Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Mixon and Joe Burrow. So they'll be good. I just don't think they're going to be as good as they were.
I'll be really curious to see if they can do this.
With the biggest chip is I think the Packers.
Because everyone's counting them out because Devontae Adams left.
Right.
Counting out Rodgers. Maybe. I mean, what are they, a 1-point favorite in Minnesota? Or are they a 1-point dog? What is that line now? You should probably look at that. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. So Twitter's going a little crazy. Even though we don't have a Rocky Mountain showdown, the trash talk between Rams and Buffs fans is ramping up. You're talking about Barstool Rams and Barstool Buffs going at it on Twitter?
Yeah, so Barstool Colorado State posted a picture saying, "See y'all Saturday, let's fill canvas," with a nice little picture of the Orange Out game from last year where everyone's wearing orange and
stuff. I was at that game.
And then Barstool Colorado responded to that saying, "Don't be shy, show the top bleachers." Because in the first picture, you can't really see the top of the bleachers. And so a bunch of CSU and CU fans are in the comments posting pictures of a full canvas stadium and then Folsom Field last Friday before the game and then Folsom Field in the fourth quarter of last Friday. So they're just going back and forth, and that's good old-fashioned rivalry.
I like it, but you also, and the fans don't like this. Okay, there was a good comparison for you, Angel, because I said you should be rooting for the Buffs to win in any time you're not playing them. But we had a texter say, "Does Angel root for Auburn?"
Heck no.
Because you don't need it. You don't need Auburn to be good to make your game any better. You don't need that to happen. CSU and CU, you want that right. Like, dude, nobody, we care, but nobody gives a crap that those guys are arguing on Twitter. It's like if there's an argument about CSU and CU in the woods, but you're not there, does it actually happen? You need each other. Alabama doesn't need Auburn, and Auburn doesn't need Alabama. You say no. Auburn does need Alabama. But that's the thing. If you, and I know the Rocky Mountain Showdown now is spotty. We don't really have an official every single year now. They're going to resume it again off and on in a couple of year or two or whatever the hell it is, which is just absolutely stupid. We need to have it every year. I think all these teams should be playing each other every year. I think Air Force should be. Now, CU will probably never schedule Air Force again, but I think that should happen. It's good for the state of college football. But this argument going on, nobody cares about it because neither team have done anything. They haven't done crap. Collectively over the last 10 years, give me the highlights. Oh, CU, did they go to a Pac-12 championship like
Pac-12
7
championship
years ago?
In 2016.
That was with McIntyre. And then they were okay in the COVID year, but we all kind of know what that was. CSU, you know, what bowl did they go to? They won 11 games under Jim McElwain. And that was the whatever bowl that was. I don't remember the bowl. Don't really care. They were good, though. And then Bobo was 7-6, 7-6, 7-6 his first 3 years. So Like, you guys should be rooting for each other to succeed so that that trash talk right there actually means something. Look at you guys. Trust me, I love it, but I'm also like, I pity you. Because you guys are just talking mad trash to each other, and it's like, neither one of you have done crap. Now, I'm hopeful CSU turns things around as soon as this year. CU's in trouble. 11:30 the time. We're going to have a great guest on the program coming up. Speaking of teams in the state that you want to see keep growing, we are very interested in that UNC-Wyoming game coming up this weekend. We're going to talk to the quarterback's coach, J.J. Ratterink, former Wyoming Cowboy, former AFL stud. So we'll talk to him next. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Krista Mateo, your UNC women's basketball coach, and you are listening to The Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
After 11 o'clock. Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Great to have this guest on. Fitting for the game ahead between the UNC Bears and the Wyoming Cowboys. Quarterbacks coach J.J. Ratterink played at Wyoming from 2000 to 2004, helped the Cowboys pull off a huge upset against UCLA in the Vegas Bowl. He went to have a 12-year career in the AFL, broke a couple of Kurt Warner's records for the Iowa Barnstormers, and he's been with Ed McCaffrey at Valor and here, of course, now at the University of Northern Colorado. Coach, thanks so much for giving us some time.
No, I really appreciate it. Thanks for bringing up some good memories there.
No, fantastic memories for you. And I know you just had such a fun career, too. I was looking at just this morning going over some of your stuff in your AFL days, and you're always quick to give back, too. I'm watching a lot of your motivational speeches and everything. Man, I bet the guys just absolutely love having you as a quarterback's coach.
Well, I hope so. And I think one of the things that I've tried to do is, you know, as you grow older, you kind of learn all the experiences you go through, good and bad. And unfortunately, sometimes, especially the bad, you say, well, now I have an opportunity to kind of impart the knowledge. So before these young men make the mistakes that I did on the field or, you know, just whatever it may be, it's like I went through those for a reason. And, you know, hopefully I can help them avoid some of those things, learn from what I did wrong, learn from what I did right. Whatever that was, and so you kind of know that. And then the other thing is, you know, you always hope, especially coaching your specific position, one that you've done, especially a quarterback, that I always hope that they know that I'm in the helmet with them. So when the crowd is too loud or when the play clock's winding down or when too many guys might be hurt or something, I've been there. Everyone's asking you to kind of huddle the troops and everything, and so you kind of build character through that a little bit, but my hope is to the character that hopefully it built through me, I can quickly impart to these young men. And like I said, they'll all be better for it.
No doubt. And with your career and what you were able to accomplish, I know that goes a long way with these young men that you're working with. What's it going to, and again, we'll probably ask you this afterward, but what's that going to be like going up to Wyoming? And again, you talk about Wyoming Cowboys history right there, pulling off that upset against UCLA in that Las Vegas Bowl. What is that like? Do you put it out of your brain? Or is there a party that's like, man, this is still pretty cool, you know? That's my old stomping grounds.
Oh, I'm not going to put any of it out of my brain. I'm going to enjoy every second of it. And really, because the 5 years that I went through there, or I shouldn't say went through it, the 5 years I got to experience there were so special to me. And you know, there were certainly things. If you Google, you'd say, well, you know, maybe you could have played a little more, and you always hope so. But my experience up there was second to none. Everything educational-wise at the business school, through athletics, through just interaction with all the fans in Wyoming. And we had some lean years early on, you know, only a couple of wins here and there, a couple of seasons. And then that senior year, we were able to get things kind of turned around with Joe Glenn as our head coach, former Bear as well. But I'll tell you what, the folks of Wyoming, the fans, they stuck with us. And they made my 5 years up there unbelievably special. Sure, I wish that there have been times you say, well, I wish I could have played more and done this. I wouldn't change my five-year script there or that chapter of my life at all. And it's a testament to everyone that was there, how supportive they were, how special they made that experience. And, you know, you talk about some of the things that hopefully you can give back as you become a coach later, and a lot of the positive experiences and things that I went through that people helped get me through was so special to me, and I'm hoping that I can do that. And give all those good life lessons to my quarterbacks and guys on the team now.
We're talking to UNC Bears quarterbacks coach J.J. Raderink and former Wyoming Cowboy, too. So I know this will be kind of a special opportunity, a special game coming up in just a couple of days. And, Coach, I can't have this interview without asking you about that quarterback position, of course. We see Dylan McCaffrey. He goes down. And then Jacob Sermon comes in, and you know, a couple of mistakes, but seemed to really run that offense well. As you guys, you know, came close, almost made a crazy comeback late against Houston Baptist. What can you tell us, or can you tell us anything about the quarterback situation at this point?
The only thing I can tell you is whoever will be in there, I think they'll be as prepared as possible. You know, I do know this, and I just have to say it for our room, and I appreciate you recognizing those guys in the difficult situation for a starter and certainly for a backup when Jacob came in. It's always tough. You don't get as many reps, and it's just mentally, it's just a different mindset. But he came in, I thought he did a very, very nice job. And I would tell you, I'm not sure exactly who's going to be under center each play on Saturday, but I will tell you this. Speaking of that quarterback room and the young man that I get to coach, I am so unbelievably fortunate. They are the best group of young men. And I don't have a lot of rules for them. The only rule I have is that it's a tough position. In my opinion, it's one of the toughest ones in sports. Mm. So you've got to support each other. There's only one, right? You know, as far as if he's healthy, there's only one guy. So I tell him early, and I said, guys, you don't get to make the decision, but the decision you do get to make is how you support each other, take care of each other. And that's really the only rule that I have, is that this room stays close, we stay tight. And I only really gave that speech one time, and I find out that these guys go to dinner all the time, they golf, they go fishing. As soon as one of them makes the play, whether it's practicing a game, the others are right up and they're celebrating first before anyone else. I am so proud of the fact that they handle the situation of either being the guy or not being the guy so well and so supportive that, you know, all the tangibles that they have, which they have a lot of them, it's their intangibles that make it so that it's easy to hop out of bed and come to work and work with these guys every day.
Boy, and it is, and I'll just ask you about the unique situation that is, of course, Dylan and Coach McCaffrey. They know each other pretty well. So it does.
You could say they've met.
So it does make that situation, at least on the outside looking in, it makes that situation go, oh my goodness, what is going to happen here? And again, injuries, we know all that stuff. Stuff aside, you can't really control that, but it does make for a very unique situation. Am I right?
Yeah, it definitely does, and it's one that you just kind of have to you go in, you say, all right, there's always a dynamic, there's always some sort of background or story of how people meet, how they get together, and how they end up in a spot. And this one is just they happen to be related, and so they know each other. But it's no different than a lot of different places where it's a friend of a friend or something, and that's how someone ends up somewhere. And so it is a little bit different. But the nice thing is, and I can tell you, having coached with Coach McCaffrey now for multiple years and coaching two of his four sons, that one, it's kind of, I'll just use the word, it's an honor that he entrusts me to with his sons to coach them and everything. But they are as respectful with everything, with everyone. You know, it's funny when you hear Dylan say, hey, Coach Max or Coach McCaffrey, and, you know, that's his brother, that's his dad. They handle it so well. And so the dynamic, even though it could look, you always say, well, how is this going to play out? They're so mature and so good about it that it always plays out nicely.
Yeah, and that helps, doesn't it? I think, and I think that's important for listeners to know about those quarterbacks' relationship with each other, the way they support each other. Because I think we always get in our minds that, you know, it's a quarterback competition. Not that you ever want anybody to get hurt, but you wonder how much they're cheering on each other at the same time. So it is great to hear that these guys go out, they hang out together, they're 100% supporting one another.
They really are. And, you know, speaking of tied into this week, the reason that I said earlier that that's kind of my only really strict rule is that that room supports each other and take care of each other, because I do feel like it's a tough position, but it's one that they should be proud to be playing. And whoever it is, it could easily be the other guy, so you've always got to be supportive. But to tie it into this weekend, I kind of learned that lesson when I was at Wyoming. I was there with two brothers, very, very talented, the Bramlett brothers from Wheatland, Wyoming. Mm. And I was in between, younger than Casey, a little 1 year older than Corey. But they were, I realized early that, you know, the coaches were going to make the decision. So I thought, even though I just want to play in the worst way and I'm competitive, I can't control this. And I realized that when I did get my opportunities, I was better prepared because I was positive. I had helped them. They helped me. They were supportive. And I thought, I think this is how this operation should be run everywhere. But I know in a quarterback room, in a quarterback situation. So, the experiences that I went through up there and the support that I had from the people, I hope have made me, you know, a better coach or at least handle situations better. And so, you know, I've had some nice things that have been said as far as Jacob Sermon transferred in from Central Michigan, and he even said one day, he said, "Coach," he said, "this is the best room I've ever been a part of." And that makes you feel good. And the nice thing is you're not really strict with it. They have run with it because they see the benefit of taking care of each other, supporting each other, and just saying, hey, whoever it is, we're going to support that guy. We want it to be me. But if it's not, we're going to take care of whoever that is.
That's again, we're talking to quarterbacks coach J.J. Rattering for the UNC Bears. That's, again, why I think this quarterback position anywhere, high school, college, pros, you talk about how unique this position is because, you know, every other position in football, you can have a guy in front of you in the depth chart, but that doesn't mean you're not going to play. That doesn't mean you're not going to get some playing time here and there, special teams, whatever. At quarterback position, you are in a full-on battle until the season starts, and then you turn into you got to be the guy's biggest supporter. So one of many reasons why the quarterback position that you played for so long is just so fascinating.
It is, and actually another little kind of fun note here is Coach Brian Reeder, who this is his first year with us, his first season, coaches our running backs. If people don't know, he and I met in the Arena Leagues, and we both were quarterbacks in Iowa in 2013, and we were roommates. And I had been in the league for a handful of years. He was a rookie. And I know that when they, you know, because in the Arena League, it's a little bit different. It's minor league sports for you. So, you know, you don't necessarily always bring your family with you. And, you know, you bring guys in. It's usually younger guys. Some of us just held on forever, like myself. But so I was still there. But he and I became roommates, and I kind of gave him the same type of encouragement and speech early that, hey, I know you're competitive. I know you're young and hungry and want to play. The good news is we're not really going to make that final decision. So it's one of those things where we were going to take, you know, I said, you've got to just understand that the coach will be the final say in the whole thing, and we got to support each other, and especially being roommates and living together, we have to be extra supportive. So he kind of learned that, and he sees me kind of operate the room the way it is now as well.
Well, Coach, we're looking forward to this game this weekend, and even on the personal note for you, of course. And, hey, Coach, before I let you go, there's a Wyoming connection tonight in our Thursday night game, of course, between the Bills and the Rams. Josh Allen, another great Wyoming Cowboy. Do you have any picks for me? You think the Bills get this thing? Josh Allen gets this thing done?
Oh, I think it's going to be a great game. I'll be rooting for a former Cowboy for sure. So I'll be pulling for him. I better not make predictions. I never know because I'm never good. I never want to jinx anyone. But no, Josh has turned out to be just absolutely phenomenal. You know, he's putting himself in that cliche word for quarterbacks, elite. He's putting himself in that category for sure. So I'll be you know, still doing some last-minute preparation for Wyoming, but I'll certainly have that game on in the background.
Well, Coach, we wish you the best of luck this weekend. You know, in that decision process, too, of what that looks like for the quarterback position coming up this weekend against Wyoming. Anytime, we'd love to get you back on the program. Love to pick your brain about all things quarterback, too. Absolutely love it.
Would love to anytime, and I really appreciate it.
All right, there he is. UNC Bears quarterbacks coach J.J. Raderink played for the Wyoming Cowboys, had some huge games for them, was a part of beating UCLA, helped those Cowboys beat UCLA in the Las Vegas Bowl. Cool guy. We don't know who the quarterback is then, right? I mean, I was told that this morning. We still didn't know. And then when I got coach on, it kind of confirmed that. Probably going to be Dylan if he's healthy.
If he's healthy, Dylan will probably start.
And that's tough because Sermon did look, like you said, look really good in that comeback effort and, you know, came up short. But in that hopeful comeback effort, he looked pretty good.
Yeah, and you don't want to put yourself in a tough situation, obviously, on the road in a tough environment in Wyoming. And if Dylan goes out and struggles early on, do you pull the plug on it and just throw Jacob in there? Has there been competition throughout the week? We don't know. What's the feel of the team like? And, you know, like he just said, they're going to support each other either way. It's just a matter of which guy can you put out there to help this team win some games.
No doubt. Well, that's another storyline amongst several storylines coming in this weekend. All right, 11:50 the time. We're going to take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 K. We're still getting texts coming in left and right. We'll be right back.
The UNC Bears playing Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ali Farokmanesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. And I know we were following along this morning. Brian and Tanner were talking about it on Good Morning NoCo. It is official. Britain's longest reigning monarch, Queen Elizabeth II, has died in Scotland. So very tough news there, of course, today, not just for Britain. I think, you know, obviously this story was something people were following. As soon as we started hearing that she wasn't doing very well health-wise, everybody was kind of waiting to see what was going to happen.
Yeah, 70 years as the Queen of Britain, died at the age of 96, helped rebuild the UK from war, obviously both world wars, entered and left the EU during her time.
Well, certainly a tough one there. More will be on that. The Washington Post is where I just got the information there, of course, but Angel hitting us up early during the break, saying that it did in fact happen, which I think even in the morning show with the guys, you got that feeling that it was probably going to be today.
Yeah, she went under medical supervision earlier this morning. Obviously, her children, their grandchildren were there. Prince William and all of them were on their way to Scotland. Not sure if they got there in time, but it's sad.
Yeah,
world leader, iconic figure,
no doubt,
in just royalty and one for the history books,
yeah.
Truly.
No question about it. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. When we come back, we do have, Kevin Lytle will join us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And we'll also talk to Kevin and Chris later today on Rams Weekly at 5 o'clock. We'll get to the lunch rush, though, when we bust into the 12 o'clock hour. Looking forward to that. And yes, my first Thursday night special of the season is coming up. Bills-Rams. Who am I taking? We're going undefeated this year. I can just feel it. You can't go undefeated, Angel, if you do not win them all. You thought I was going to say, if you don't win week one. No, you can't go undefeated if you don't win them all. You got to win them all. So that's the plan. It's deep thoughts here from a wandering mind. All right, we'll be right back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.